First Palm Media. You are listening to Mushing on First Palm Media. Visit our website at mushing.com. Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to the sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of the sport, in-depth interviews with a top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert, and I am joined by my co-host, Michelle, and you are listening to our continuing coverage of the 2024 Iditarod here on the Burled Arch. And folks, we have made it to the end of the trail. It is the last night of our Iditarod coverage, and the banquet is being held in Nome. And Michelle, I know you've been watching on Insider for about the last hour or so. Set the scene for us. What's going on there in the rec hall?
Sure, Robert. So let us set the whole scene. The community centers in any of these villages pretty much are the same, including the community center here in our hometown of Willow. So you would walk in, and it's the size enough for a community gathering of about 200 people is the way that most of these community centers are set up. Think of it like a middle school or elementary school cafeteria, if you will. There's a stage on one side so that they can do little shows and stuff like that. But they've got all of the tables and chairs out in rows. On one side, they have the awards and a podium where there's a small stage and a small band. And on either side of the podium, there are these beautiful flower arrangements that are inside bunny boots. And so the whole program is being emceed by the Nome mayor, John Hanlon. And one of the first things that happened tonight while they're still eating, I will say, is they had to collect some people, if you will, that crashed the banquet. Apparently, they had some loose dogs crash their banquet.
And over the last half hour or so, as folks are getting ready to eat, they're singing some songs, pretty cool cover songs. They're doing some Hobo Jim. They're doing Mountain Home Alaska Style, a John Denver cover. They are doing, what else did they do?
Some Creedence.
I really like that one. These guys are pretty dang good. I enjoy them. I went to the dark side, guys. I went into the chat for the first time tonight. Yes, so I've been watching Insider just a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but I'd never entered into the chat. And our good friends, Richard and Patty, said, you've got to go into the chat and check it out. And I did, just to see mainly what they were having for dinner. And I got immersed by it. They were chatting like crazy. It took me right back to those old AOL chat days from back in the day. And some of you guys may or may not know this, but I actually met Michelle in a chat room on a Saturday afternoon way back in 1999. And guess how we met? She asked a question about dog mushing. And as they say, the rest is history. So at the time of recording, we're doing this right around 6 o'clock Alaska time. So the doors have been open for a couple of hours now. They have not done anything other than sitting down to eat. As Alaska tradition goes, they allowed the elders to be served first, and then everybody else went up and got their plates. And it looks like from watching the video that they are having prime rib dinner with salad and potatoes and the like. Anything else you can spy there, Michelle?
You said someone in the chat room told you there was shrimp.
I don't see any shrimp, but I guess it's all possible.
I don't know. I don't see shrimp either. I see a vegetable. I see salad. I see definitely a beef of some sort, whether it's prime rib or roast beast is to be seen. But it looks to me like the regular community center fare, except for they're being treated to not the locals cooking the meal, but the locals cooking the meal with the lakefront chefs.
Well, I'll probably get my head chopped off for this, but I wonder if it happened to be that moose that Dallas encountered on the trail.
Come on, Robert.
Well, you know,
that was donated down to the Squintnoy community, I believe.
Well, they do donate those game animals to the local community. So I guess anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And we know how much everyone up here does enjoy their moose burgers and moose steaks. It is not something I have ever been able to get a taste for. So I'm out for moose, but that's okay.
So the way this usually goes is they'll do the awards, and each musher will come up and do a quick speech. They can literally talk for as long as they want tonight. I know that they were on a time limit at the opening banquet, but here they can tell stories from the trail and thank their sponsors and all of that stuff. But it looks like a pretty good turnout. Looks like the entire community center is full to the brim, doesn't it, Michelle?
It does, and the cameras right now are posted up on a table where it looks like at least I can recognize Dallas. Dallas is sitting down eating on the table that they have the camera posed on. I don't know if they did that on purpose or not. I know this table had reserved signs on it, and it looks to me like there possibly is at least one, maybe two other mushers at that table with Dallas, but I don't recognize most people unless they've got all of their parka gear on.
Speaking of that, everybody looks Alaska comfortable. Nobody is dressed to the gills, as they say. It looks like there's a lot of baseball caps, a lot of Carhartts, a lot of work-type shirts, if you will, flannel and sweatshirts and hoodies and all that. Not your typical fancy go-to-dinner banquet, is it?
I don't know. It looked like it was fancy enough to me.
So the music is still going, but we're going to jump on over to the rest of our program. We typically are recording about this time, and we are giving announcements to awards as they come in, but we're planning on keeping on script, if you will. But before we do that, we have to tell you guys about something that Michelle and I did last night, and I promise you it goes right in line with Iditarod. We went to see a movie that was just released this week. It is called Arthur the King. And I'm going to set the scene for this a little bit. It's about an adventure race championship down in the Dominican Republic way back in 2018. And the main character is played by Mark Wahlberg. And he's sort of a down on your luck, washed up adventure athlete. He always tried a little bit too hard and always finished without being on top, if you will. So he said, yep, I've got one more in me and I'm going to go try this again. I'm going to form a team. I'm going to go try to get some sponsors and I'm going to do the whole nine yards. Well, that sort of worked out for him. He went and met a large group of sponsors, and the sponsor said, you're kind of washed up, but we're going to give a chance on you if you pick this one guy who has a very large social media following. So we're going to give you money for social media access. So they went down, they did the race, and I promise I won't give this all away, but there was a scene set where down in the Dominican Republic and in most of Central America and other parts of the world, there are a heck of a lot of street dogs. These dogs are pretty much left to fend for themselves, and they're fed scraps and all of this sort of stuff. Well, there was this one little dog who kept following this group of racers down the trail, and they eventually formed a friendship. And they thought, oh my goodness, this little dog is part of our team, and we're going to continue on the race with Arthur. They ended up calling him Arthur the King. And they finished the race with the little dog, and there were some trials and tribulations and sad stories and happy endings and the whole nine yards. But it really harkened back to that hero's journey type of storytelling. And there was a heck of a lot of correlation to Iditarod. And I'm going to get Michelle's thoughts on this in a second. But I think any fan of Iditarod, or of course dog movies in general, is absolutely going to love this movie. It is based on a true story, and we are happy to report, and this is not a spoiler by any stretch, because it was all over social media before, but the dog lives in the end. And I think that's the key takeaway, isn't it, Michelle?
I think so too. And it's really going to give people more desire, if you will, to go watch the movie. I know a lot of our clients in our dog training business won't go watch a dog movie if the dog dies. And so the dog perseveres, which is part of the story. And I think that that harkens back to the correlation Robert is trying to give you guys about Iditarod. That is that Iditarod is much more than just the dogs and the mushers going across the interior of Alaska. It goes back to that journey that I shared with you guys. It goes back to perseverance. It goes back to Laurel Eklund saying you needed to be a woodsman out there on the trail.
Yeah, and to sum up this movie, at the very end, it was all about sort of paying it forward, or a cause, if you will. And during this time, they started a foundation called the Arthur Foundation. And I'm not going to tell any more about that, because that's a key point to the movie. But it is so much like Iditarod. So many of these guys go out and are racing for one cause or the other, whatever that cause would be, whether it's for their own personal journey or a health-related cause like diabetes or cancer or breast research or whatever, or alcoholism and substance abuse and all sorts of things. A lot of people are not mushing just to mush. They are doing it for a cause, and that's sort of what this movie is all about. So, with all that said, I encourage you to go check out the brand new Mark Wahlberg movie called Arthur the King. I'm sure it will be streaming in a month's time, but definitely go check it out. So there are not any awards yet. I see that that John the Mayor is up and speaking again, but we do not have anything going on yet. So let's talk about probably my favorite part of this whole Iditarod experience that we do every year. This is our 14th year of doing nightly coverage of one stretcher or another here on our podcast. And that is our favorite story from this year's Iditarod. And typically, I wait to go last. So I'm going to go first this year, because I let out my story out of the bag a couple of days ago. And that was Sean Williams. Sean Williams had to scratch, and this is his second time scratching in a row. And I do have a correction to make, as a matter of fact, that I forgot to mention last night. He was in the race in 2022, not 2023, when he had to scratch, pretty much along with all those other folks that had to scratch because of that storm. If you recall, there were people that had to be airlifted out with helicopters and the whole nine yards. But anyway,
this show had better be called The Whole Nine Yards.
I know, I've said that a couple of times. So anyway, Sean Williams had to scratch, and he pulled into the checkpoint of Golovin, and he knew his race was over, but he knew he had to wait for the officials to come and pick him up and the dogs and do what they do. They fly the dogs out, and they typically will fly the person out to the next checkpoint. On that side of the trail, they will fly you to Nome, usually. So anyway, he was waiting and waiting and waiting, and he thought, what better way than to give all of the kids a ride in the dog team, with the dog team in the Iditarod sled that showed up to check out his dogs. And that's exactly what he did. But I think the coolest part of the entire story wasn't necessarily that he was giving rides to all the kids. Obviously, that's a huge deal for them. It's going to be an experience that a lot of those guys' kids will never forget. But he still had his tracker on. The tracker was still pinging off the sled. And you see all of these ups and backs on the tracker feed. And I'm sure people are going, what in the world is this guy doing? Because typically when somebody scratches, you will see the tracker stop moving. It will go down to zero. And then you'll typically see it going 30, 40, 50 miles an hour down the highway or up the river or something. And then it will just stop dead at the airport or something like that. And then that'll be the last thing that you will see. But you saw Sean Williams' tracker pinging back and forth, I bet more than 20 or 30 lines back and forth from one point or the other as he was giving rides to the kids. So by far, my favorite story of this year's Iditarod is definitely Sean Williams' tracker in Gullivan. Michelle, I don't know if you can top that one, but there's got to be another story.
I don't know. I think I might have to say the whole nine yards six times for it to top yours. But all joking aside, my story, I don't necessarily know if you're going to consider it an Iditarod story.
Okay.
My story has to do with myself. This year was the first year that I really felt like I was a part of something that had to do with Iditarod. We have always followed Iditarod since I met Robert. We have always been fans of Iditarod and dog mushing, obviously. But I've always kind of felt like an outsider looking in. I don't consider myself a dog musher, even though I've participated in races and I've probably got a good 6, 7, maybe 8,000 miles on my sled over the years. I just don't consider myself a musher. That being said, we purchased Mushing Magazine, and I was so thrilled to be able to have that opportunity. And then when we also were gifted, basically, with the opportunity to also be the historians for Team and Trail, I was so excited, you guys, because I love the history of it. I love the storytelling. I love hearing not only from other mushers, but their handlers, their families, their fans, about what is so magical about Iditarod. And this year, because we received our media passes, we were able to go more places with the race than we had ever been able to go before. And I really found it like a little kid going to Disneyland for the first time, almost. Okay, so I got to go in and do my 90-second interviews, and I was so hopeful that everybody would enjoy those because I was kind of quick on the draw and I have an excitable personality, and I just wanted everybody to feel comfortable, even though it was kind of a nerve-wracking morning and all of the other things that are going in with that. And I really enjoyed the time that each musher gave to me that morning. And I want to say thank you here to them for taking the time to let me play reporter. And then this was what was so exciting for me, you guys, getting to jump on the back of my snow machine with Robert and having him be my tour guide to Yetna Station for the first time in the 15 years that we've lived in Alaska. I was smiling from ear to ear the entire way, watching people set up their camps and their tailgates and their barbecues. I recognized a few people as we pulled across Long Lake and out onto the trail. And it was breathtaking stopping at Corral Hill and getting some photographs that I hope he can share with everybody on the website. And then going down the Corral Hill and out onto the river, I was enamored with the beauty of Sleeping Lady, which is my favorite mountain here in the Susitna Valley. And I have always wanted to see what she looked like from the other side. And I hadn't gotten that opportunity until this year. And I wasn't disappointed. But the view from the highway on the way to my house and not far from my house is absolutely breathtaking. So as we were at Yetna Station, I really got to feel like I was part of the Mushing community there. And when we left Yetna Station, my favorite thing ever that is going to stick with me for a very long time was that sweet little grin and giggle that I got from Lara Kittleson when I asked her if she was enjoying her soup.
Yeah, that was a cool moment. I hope we can reach out to Laura and get her on the show. Speaking of that, one of my favorite experiences out there on the river was when we met up with Laurel Eklund. And we deliberately left Yetna Station about the time that the mushers were starting to come in. I think they were only a mile or two out, but we wanted to make sure that we zipped down the river so we could catch every team with our camera. And no, they are not the best shots in the world.
We were trying
to take pictures on the back of a snow machine with a large zoom lens in very cold weather with too much gear on.
And low light.
So some of them are good or some of them are bad. But anyway,
But he's going to post them anyway.
So about halfway down down through the pack, we saw Laurel come up and we stopped and we said, "Hey, good job, good luck," or whatever. And he turned around and he said, "Hey, Robert and Michelle, thank you for coming out. We really appreciate it." And I did the Incredible Hulk muscles up and gave him a thumbs up and on down the trail. But it was just so cool how everybody was so excited to hit that trail. And of course, for some folks, it worked out. For others, it did not. But everybody has stories to tell, for sure. So those are our favorite stories of the year. And what I would like to do next is just do a little bit of a recap. This is our 18th show of our coverage. And every night, if you have happened to listen to every show, we always try to do the same thing. We want to give an update of the day's news. We talk about a couple of stories that developed. Michelle shared a heck of a lot of her interviews that she did. We always did a musher profile, and we did our best to give unique and refreshing commentary from our side of experience. So that, take it as you will, we tried to give that experience from our side. And I think that that's really what sets us apart. I really enjoyed who Michelle came up with for our musher profiles. The way we typically do these, if we profiled them on our show, we typically will reach out to them first for first cracks at interviews in the off season. So let me see if I can remember everybody that we spoke about. We spoke about Jesse Royer, Wally Robinson, Josie Teer, Jason Mackey, Bailey Vitello, Gabe Dunham, Mats Peterson, Will Rhodes, Laura Kittleson, Anna Hennessy, Laurel Eklund, Joshua Robbins, Severin Cathery, Jeff Reed, and Calvin Doherty, Hunter Keefe, Isaac Tedford, and Aaron Ultimus. We talked about all of those guys on our nightly musher profile. So our goal is to reach out to every one of them in the next week or two. We always give them about a week or two to decompress and get their bearings straight and get back home and back to work or sleep or whatever they have to do before we reach out to them. And we will ask them to be on our show. And that show is over on our other feed, the Mushing feed. You can find it right here in the show notes. And those are those longer form interviews, typically a half an hour to 45 minutes or so. And we will be doing that.
When Robert interviews a musher, he likes to give them a platform so that they can promote themselves. He's not going to come at you with prepared questions. It's going to be a conversation. He's going to want you to talk about your experience, of course, but it's really up to you to set the tone of how the conversation goes. He's going to give you some lead-in questions and things like that to make it easier on you. But from reports back from mushers that are super shy and weren't too sure they should be doing this, they have always reported back to us about how much they enjoyed it. And one of our shyest interviews with Ryan Reddington, he did tell me this year at Junior Iditarod how much he enjoyed our interviews.
Yeah, I really enjoyed doing those interviews. And as Michelle said, we typically don't ask the same questions every other reporter or podcast will ask you. I typically will ask about your dogs and your favorite experience and what you like to eat on the trail and what's upcoming and things that hopefully you have not said before. So I look forward to having those on. I know a lot of family and friends and handlers and all of that have been listening to our show over the last couple of weeks. And they, even a few of them have reached out to me and said, hey, I would love to have my musher on to speak to you. So watch out. We will be sending out emails or messages or whatever in the next coming days. So that is what is next. We will start off our off-season interviews with our musher profiles first, and then we'll just sort of put a broad net cast for anybody else that would like to be on. We typically have a show every single week from now until next Iditarod. So look forward to that.
And Robert, we are possibly considering doing a few videos for the YouTube channel where we're going to discuss the types of gear and do some talks like that.
Yeah, we had, I posted a picture, a question on our mushing page, our mushing Facebook page today, and asked, what would you guys like to see? And a great comment came in from a musher in Ireland, and she, or up and coming musher in Ireland. And she said, I would love for you guys to talk about the rules. And I think that's a great idea to do a podcast series about the rules of Iditarod, because a lot of times people will talk about rule 36 or rule 42 or rule 18 or whatever, and they don't quite understand what that means. And I think if we do a little bit of a explanation of those and at least give our perspective of what that means, I think that that would really inform our listenership, because so many of those rules that they use in Iditarod, they use in other races as well, whether they're sprint races or mid-distance races or long-distance races or whatever, when they're talking about drop dogs or mandatory gear or competitive rules and all that sort of stuff, a lot of that will be interplayed. So we're planning on doing that. So what else is happening? So after, or should I say, as we start our off-season interviews, up next is our Mushing Magazine update. And that will happen at the end of April, the beginning of May. We will be releasing our first print edition of Mushing Magazine. I'm very excited about that. We're working on stories right now for that, and we hope to have all that done and ready to print in late April, early May, and in your mailbox. So that is up next. Following that, in June, the third Saturday, I believe it is the Iditarod sign up and volunteer picnic. It's held at Iditarod headquarters. And I don't think Michelle, you have been there. We attended when Nicole, our daughter, signed up for her first junior Iditarod. We signed up on that day. And the reason that we did is because they offer free entries and they sort of draw it out of a hat on, I believe they still do junior Iditarod. I know that they do the Iditarod. If you're there in person, they will pick and choose a free entry or two. So we signed up Nicole at the junior Iditarod. So we did have that experience, but we're going to do it a little bit different this year. Michelle is going to take her trusty Zoom recorder over and do some of these 90-second interviews with the mushers as they sign up. So that will be the third weekend in June. Coming up in July, we're going to do our first annual Team and Trail Tour in the upper Midwest of the United States. We're going to be visiting kennels and mushers and doing some meet and greets up in Minnesota and Wisconsin. There are a few spots left. You can find out more about that over on mushing.com/tour. I'm really excited about that, Michelle. This is our first time doing this. We're doing it relatively close to home so we can really figure out this process and really kick it off big. Is that right?
It is, Robert, but I have a question because I don't know what you've decided. Are we taking the sled dog Jeep?
No, we are not taking the sled dog Jeep this year. We are going to fly down and do the old rental car route so we can get as many miles as we possibly can. I know that two musher/kennel/teams have already signed up to talk to us. And our goal is we will spend several hours with you and do an interview for the magazine. We'll do an audio interview for the podcast. We'll get some behind the scenes audio and video. We will get some pictures of your dogs, potentially for Super Dogs. We are just going to spend some time with you to really showcase you and your kennel so you can be featured in an upcoming Mushing Magazine and on all of our other media. And I think this is really exciting, Michelle, because I don't think they've ever done this before where they just did sort of a concentration of mushers and teams all from one location and getting different perspectives and really doing a heck of a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
I think that they may have, but then the draw was more about photographs and the written interviews. It was not done in a video format ever. And so that'll be brand new. And it's never been done in an interview podcast style also. So I mean, Greg had a podcast for a minute, but I don't know how many interviews he did that way.
So my goal is if we're doing a sit-down interview for the magazine, and you guys are very familiar with a Q&A magazine interview, so you'll see the pictures and the questions and the back and forth between us and them, and then there'll potentially be a QR code right there in the printed magazine. And if you click that QR code with your phone, it will take you to a webpage for that particular musher or team. And there will be a whole bunch of behind the scenes content.
And that pulls us into the 21st century.
Yeah, Hold on.
I think you might be moving too fast down the trail. So, are you sure?
Yes. So I'm thinking we can do some bloopers, we can do some video, we can do some pictures. And that's only going to be offered to subscribers to Mushing Magazine. So you may get the magazine in the mail. I know a lot of people are asking about that. We still want to do that. But if you want the real juice, if you will, it's going to be all of this behind the scenes content that we're going to get at places like the Team and Trail Tour. And
I think the kids call it the T now.
The T, yes, the T. So definitely stay up to date for that. So that will be in July. In August, this is sort of mushing adjacent, but we're going to be attending Podcast Movement in Washington, D.C. I'm very excited for that. I hope to be speaking at that again this year. I have a very interesting talk to talk about. I'm pretty good friends with one of the founders of Podcast Movement, and we're sort of scratching our heads trying to figure out how we can best meet the audience. But the reason why this is important to you is because we meet with some of the movers and shakers in this space, in this industry, to bring you guys fresh and new content ideas. Like last year was all about YouTube. It was all about AI. It was all about really engaging your listeners. And every single year, we started attending Podcast Movement in 2017 with my old co-host, Alex Stein. We attended our first one together, and every single year we always bring back some new nugget that we implement right away. Is that right?
That is right. And I want everybody to understand that we have a media company, and you host several other podcasts, including a couple for other dog mushers. And it's great because they are listening and we can invite them to come to Podcast Movement to kind of see the behind the scenes meat and potatoes of how these things happen and how we get these shows to you guys. But I think that it would be a great opportunity for us to do some kind of behind the scenes nuggets, if you will, about how it works behind the scenes, Robert. There's a lot that goes into putting the podcast together. I would say just as much work goes into building out a podcast as it does in building out an entire magazine.
For sure. So we will be there in August, late August. We'll be in DC for that, and we'll do a little bit of meet and greets with some folks there. We like to talk to a lot of people in our space, whether they're sports podcasters or storytelling podcasters or whatever. I mean, if you know of anybody in podcasting and you have listened to their show, I would bet that they've attended Podcast Movement. It is by far the biggest conference for podcast and audio related media anywhere in the world. We're talking 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people at this conference. And man, it has been at some very cool places. We went to Opryland in Nashville. We've been to Dallas. We've been to Denver at the Gaylord Hotel. Now we're going to DC.
Can we just get to Seattle so it's not as far?
I know. Can we get to Seattle? But anyway, how is this adjacent? Because we're going to bring new features to you right here on the podcast. Up after that, we are excited to announce in October, for almost 2 weeks, I will be flying over to Scandinavia. I will be attending a mushing and veterinary conference in Sweden for about a week, and then I will be driving from Sweden through Norway and over to Finland for the following week.
And you're in charge of those 90-second interviews.
And covering the Dryland Championships in Finland. And people have asked us over and over and again to make this a worldwide magazine, worldwide podcast. What better way to do that than literally get our feet wet at a huge event in Scandinavia? And I say that because we have a heck of a lot of fans that listen over in that part of the world. I would bet that aside from the U.S. and Canada, that Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, those areas right there are by far our biggest listenership, right?
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited about the Veterinarian Expo myself.
Yeah, I was invited to that by a recent guest on the podcast. You see, you guys got to listen to the podcast. This is where it's all about. I was invited by one of our recent guests. She said, hey, you need to come over to Sweden and check this out. And I took her up on it. And we are in the beginning stages of getting all that set. I'm trying to figure out all the dates and then the prices for tickets and figuring out how.
Now, will you be speaking?
I don't know if I'll be speaking, but I'll definitely be podcasting.
Right. But you were asked to speak.
Yep. So if they have spots, I will definitely talk about media coverage or whatever. So what's happening up after that? So here we are in October. Right after that, and literally the week after I get back, will be another round of the One World Canine Obstacle Course Challenge, which is held down in Atlanta. We have already signed up for that. Michelle, am I just going to stay on the East Coast and fly home from Atlanta? Are you going to bring Isolt down and meet us there?
By myself in her big crate? Probably not.
We'll figure it out. So we are hoping to be in Atlanta for that.
But wait, I want to know more about One World Canine because there are so many Canicross and dryland mushers out there. If you haven't heard about One World Canine Obstacle Course, you're truly missing out on an epic opportunity to compete.
Yeah, and that's why we want to cover it. And that's why we are going to go down at least once this year. I know they're doing it in May and they're also doing it in October. So as I'm thinking, and I always think right off the fly, is I think it's pretty easy for me to fly from Finland right into Atlanta. Atlanta is the world's largest and busiest airport. I don't know about largest, but definitely the busiest. I could fly right into Sweden, Michelle could
fly right out of
Right out of Finland or Sweden, right over to Atlanta. Michelle can pack up my girl Isolt in her fancy impact crate, put her on the flight in Anchorage, do a direct flight to Atlanta. I can meet her right there at the airport that morning. We can jump in the rental van and head right over to Alabama. What do you think?
I think I'm going to need wheels on her crate.
Well, you have our daughter, Nicole, to definitely help us out for that. So that is our year. And of course, fall training will start shortly after that. The race schedule will be released. We will still be continuing our interviews. We will be doing all of that as we go. So that is what is in store for us on our podcast, at Mushing Magazine, at Mushing Media, all around our First Paw Media company.
I invite any videographers, people that know how to fly drones, to get in touch with us and maybe meet us down there at One World.
Well, I know a friend of mine, funny you say that, Michelle, a friend of mine on Mushing Magazine Facebook page today said that I need to get in touch with their partners. I think it's called Digital Brothers or something like that. Brett, if you're listening to this podcast, I think you do. You asked if I can get a hold of those guys. I know that you're based in Florida. I believe you're based in Sarasota. That's only about a 5 or 6 hour drive from eastern Alabama. It's not too far from the Canine One World. If you guys would like to do something really cool, I could easily be persuaded to do some type of documentary type film or whatever of your guys' choosing, showing this thing in a whole new light. I know that you guys did an excellent job with your daughter and her quest to run Junior Iditarod under a cause of diabetes research, if I remember correctly. One heck of a story, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. So like I said, that is what's upcoming, and I'm looking forward to it. And I have one last thing I want to report before we give our thanks. And again, we talked about our good friends, Richard and Patty, and they gave us a little bit of an enlightening experience the other night. They said, you guys really should reach out to the fans' perspective on your podcast. And I have never really thought of it that way. I've always thought of this sort of as a mushers podcast, me giving the mushers experience and sort of just kicking back and talking to other mushers. But they said, we have a heck of a lot of fans that are listening to our podcast. Not mushers, not, you know, down in the trenches type athletes, but just true fans. And I thought, we need to figure out a way to reach them. And I'm wondering if we should change up our format just a little bit, Michelle, and change it to more of a fan's perspective versus a musher's perspective, or sort of in the know perspective, if you will, kind of on the back of the sled type perspective, but more of a fan perspective. What do you think?
I would invite any of our fans to reach out to us on our socials, seriously, and ask, hey, can I be on the show? And maybe Robert can devise a little bit of a get-to-know-you form so that he has an idea of what you want to talk about and things like that, what questions you might have, and what you would want to discuss, so that he could sprinkle that into one of the other shows. I also invite any and all of the fans that have considered doing anything with mushing and dog-powered sports, if you're a creator, send us something. We'd love to give you an opportunity to get your name out there. And you guys, just because the magazine seems like it's kind of wavering, it's not. Robert has been doing Mushing, the podcast, for 15 years or close to it. And he knows how to help somebody grow their platform, get their name out there. Once your name is published, even in the magazine, it puts you in a different light.
Yeah, it opens doors, however big those doors are, whether it's speaking at the local middle school or being on other podcasts or being in other publications. We can help you with that because literally that's what I do for a living is I sit here and talk on the microphone and social media and all that. We keep the wheels rolling on our other businesses, Michelle.
Robert, one last thing before we close this out tonight. I have been going through those older magazines that were put out issues 1 through 40. I have looked at, you guys. And the format was very different from the way it is now. They used to, on a regular basis, include poetry. And they would include free-form writing styles. And they would include writing submitted by junior mushers. And every time I go look at one of the junior musher sections, I have to tell you guys, I am clamoring to find a junior musher that grew up and actually finished Iditarod. And I haven't really found one yet, but that's one of the treasure troves that I look for. So if you have a junior musher out there that likes to do any kind of content creating, send them our way.
Okay, guys, last segment for our last show of Iditarod, and that is our closing remarks. First off, I want to thank all of our fans. You guys are the reason that we do this. Obviously, you guys are listening, potentially buying products from our ads and our sponsors and telling other people about us. That's why we do it. We're doing it for the fans. Of course, this is our job. This is how we make a living, so we really appreciate every person that has listened, has subscribed, has told their family members and friends about us over the years. We thank you for sticking with us and really being there for us. We love the comments, positive and negative. Of course, we love the reviews. We love all of that. We really appreciate that. We have been doing this a very long time. As Michelle said, 15 years of talking on podcasts. I think we have well over 2,000 episodes in our family of podcasts, and I am happy to say we have never in all of that time since late January of 2009 missed a single week episode. So we have a heck of a long time going. I think they call it the Iron Man Award or something in the National Football League. We have got the Iron Man Award going for podcasting. Next up is to thank our hosts, and we only have one other host this year, and that is Michelle, and I do definitely want to send out a huge thank you to her. I could not do this by myself. I hate doing solo episodes. They are not my gig. They're definitely not my forte. I hate reading off pages. I am more of a freeform or interview-type podcaster. I am not one that likes to have a lot of structure, and having a co-host really helps with that. Obviously, they keep things rolling. They do their side of it. They do their research. They have their segments. So I got to give a huge thanks to Michelle. This is her first year of being on every single night and being a part of this from the very beginning till the very end. So Michelle, thank you for doing this year. And do you have anything else?
I just want to say, because of your commitment to the sport, you're keeping the dream alive and sparking dreams in those that don't even know what Iditarod is yet.
Yeah, and it's not always Iditarod. You know, we talk about Iditarod a lot, especially on this show, but there's a lot more to it. That's why the Mushing Magazine now is called the Home of Dog-Powered Adventure. And it's going to be anything that is dog-powered sport adjacent, whether that's canicross, bike drawing, obstacle courses, whatever. If it involves a human and a dog attached to each other in one aspect or another, whether it's hiking or whatever, that's what we hope to cover. So is that it, Michelle?
That's it. But thank you to our super fans, Dick and Patty.
Yep, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening from the bottom of our heart for sure. Make sure you do not unsubscribe. We will drop little nuggets here and there on this feed throughout the year. And of course, head on over and subscribe to our Mushing podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And my final call to action is head on over to mushing.com, head over to mushing.com/mushingplus, and hit that subscription button. We have all sorts of subscriptions there. We have print subscriptions, Canadian subscriptions, digital-only subscriptions, Mushing Plus, international, you name it. We have it. We told you guys all sorts of stuff that we're going to be doing. And believe me, we hope to continue the legacy. Michelle, until next time.
I did the Iditarod Trail.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.